warrior's mindset is about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The warrior's mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Willie the Bam Johnson's Warrior's Mindset Radio, where it's all about empowering everyone from the inside out, mind, body, and spirit. We have had some of the great martial artists, business people, my mentors, coaches on this show, just talking about the warrior's mindset and how we use it to empower ourselves, our communities, our families, and the next generation. Today, we happen to have, I'm just honored. Of course, we have the great Robert Parham, the man who's always doing something on a food stamp budget. My man, you know, he makes it happen. I don't know. This man is like probably the hardest working man in the industry outside of James Brown. So honored to have Robert. And then, you know, just another honor. I mean, dreams do come true. Robert, thank you for allowing Doug to be present. The man behind the great Maverick Entertainment, you know, one of the leaders in independent film productions. Everybody know about the company. Everybody heard about the company. But to have you present here today, sir, is just an honor. How are you, everyone?
I'm doing great, Bam. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, I'm doing great, Bam.
Well, what we want to do, we want to get a basic little introduction. Everybody know who Robert Parham is in the world of martial arts. Everybody know the name Maverick, but I don't think anybody ever had a chance to really, you know, in our industry to really understand what it represents and who the man is behind it. The great company. So can we get a little introduction from you, Mr. Doug?
Sure, Bam. First off, I want to thank you and Robert for having me on a call today. I know Robert invited me in and I was happy to join. Robert's a great partner of ours. I agree with your earlier sentiments about him being the hardest working man in the industry. He's always working on something. He's got a project going here, project going there. I turn around, he's doing something unique every time. So happy to be associated with you guys. And a little bit about Maverick. Maverick is we're a 24-year-old company. Next year is our big year, 25th anniversary. So we have a lot of things planned for that. Over that time frame, we've released over 1,000 movies in the marketplace. And we're on a pace to release about 100 projects a month. And we're producing 25 to 30 projects a year. So we're really cranking them out. You know, this year has been one of our years of the last couple of years during COVID actually have been big growth years for us. It's been years where, you know, there's been a captive audience, so to speak. People have had less options of what to do. They've been home. They want to watch content. They want to consume it wherever they are. So we've kind of gone berserk in the form of starting new channels and new opportunities and new ways to see the movies. Our reach now is greater than it's ever been. And that you know, that's a little bit about what we do. We operate in South Florida, and you know, but the great thing is where you upload a movie, it's like you're in cyberspace. Nobody really knows where it's coming from. But all the complimentary things you said about me, it's really it's appreciated. But it's our team that's really that does it all. We have a great team, and then outside of the team, it's a team of the filmmakers and the partners that we have in the marketplace. Without those partners, we just kind of be sitting around twiddling our thumbs with not much to do. So it's, you know, it's kind of a catch 22 cycle. You know, if people need content, we contact people that know how to make content and have content, and it kind of keeps it going really good. I've seen, you know, I've been in the industry so long that I've seen the ebbs and flows from beta to VHS to Laserdisc to, you know, to DVD to Blu-ray to digital. I've seen it all. So we're in a renaissance, so to speak, of content and consumption right now, which is great for everybody.
Sir, yes, sir. Robert, I mean, to be partners with Maverick, I mean, what does that mean to you, and what's your purpose behind, you know, continuing to push the pen forward and bring about revolutionary opportunities for many people and even your projects?
Well, let me piggyback with Doug Schwab at Maverick, and they are practically the only distribution company that works with content creators and produces films. So for them to give any, you know, people at, you know, like me and others that I know, the opportunity to make films is, man, it's a godsend. You know, without Doug, without Maverick and his team, Kelsey, et cetera, and Erica, et cetera, and so forth, I don't know what I would be doing, okay, as far as making content. So that leads me to this. So the content I put out is a throwback to our forefathers in cinema. The guys like Fred Williamson, the guys like Ron Van Cleef, guys and women like Gloria Hendry, the people who laid the foundation for us during the quote unquote Blaxploitation era is what I base my films off of. I love to honor those who came before me to enable me to have the opportunity to do what I do.
Well, the name of the show is Warrior's Mindset, which is a universal expression. I mean, it's just really digging it out, making nothing into something. And for you to get your start, you had to have that sort of mindset, Mr. Doug, to be able to push forward, to survive this long period of time. You don't have to be in a dojo to be a warrior. When you think of that term, warrior's mindset, how have you applied that to your company and your life?
Well, I'll answer your question in 1 second, Bam. I wanted to kind of comment on something Robert said, too. When the first time, you know, Robert and I came across, I think it was for his film Jackson Bolt, and it caught my attention that, you know, he had Fred Williamson in the movie, and I was always a big Fred Williamson fan. Many years ago, before I started Maverick, I was the buyer for Blockbuster for the corporate stores in the United States. And I bought a lot of Fred Williamson movies. And when I was charged with going into certain stores and building up the African-American black cinema category within the Blockbuster stores, Fred Williamson was always a staple in the, you know, Hell Up in Harlem and in the 70s exploitation type films. And when I saw Robert bringing him back up, it kind of rekindled an old flame, so to speak, in me of something that was really kind of cool. And back in the day when I was a buyer, Fred used to come in and pitch his films to us, actually. And, you know, we used to go out to dinner and eat, and it was really kind of cool. I think when he did the movie, it was the original OG, the one when he came back and Pam Grier was back and everything else. And we kind of put it back on the map at Blockbuster back in the day. So once I saw Robert doing that, it kind of rekindled some great memories from the 90s. Of being back, you know, in that spot. Now to go back to Maverick, how we survived so long, and it's not been easy all the time. It's been, you know, very challenging. We've seen a lot of challengers and our competitors fall by the wayside and come back under different names and this and that, and maybe fall back again. We've always had one business model, and our business model is to embrace content creators, not be judgmental on what the content is. If somebody's telling a story, that's probably somebody wants to listen to that story. You know, it's like there's an audience for every type of film, you know, and we've pretty much focused on one area. We focused on an underserved audience since 1997, which was a black consumer base. And I focused on that genre, even at Blockbuster when I was a buyer, because it was a, you know, I'd go into a meeting and, you know, we'd have very little representation of that genre. And I grew up in New Orleans, so I grew up in a melting pot kind of city. And I knew that, you know, that not everybody watches the same thing, likes the same music, like, you know, everything else. And so, you know, being a buyer, you can't buy by your personal taste. You have to buy what the people that are paying you want to watch. And so I took that same mentality in what we're doing. And, you know, it's, I put a lot of trust in the vision and the production that a filmmaker has. And I say, if they believe in it, can I buy into it too? And if I buy into it too, then I'll invest in it. And then we'll invest in getting it out into the marketplace. Now, the one thing that we have a statement that no one has an ugly child, right? So like, you know, so the movie may be the most important thing to an individual filmmaker, but then until you get it out there for it to stand on its own, that's when you know it'll work. We want every movie to work, but not every single movie works. But what ultimately is the judge of that is the audience. And, you know, but what we do is our goal is to expand the audience. So, I mean, people, I feel sorry for a lot of people that just go and put one movie and they put it up on Amazon and they're hoping that they get something out of that. You know, you have to be on Amazon. You have to be on Tubi. You have to be on Vudu. You have to be on, you know, I say Fandango, but since Fandango and Vudu have merged, you have to diversify. Just like you had a portfolio of your 401k, you have to diversify into other areas. If it doesn't work on this platform, maybe it'll work on that platform. And our job as a distributor is to expand the vision, expand the playing field, and give the film a better opportunity to reach its audience. So we get really, you know, where filmmakers are happy, where when we pick a film up from them or a fund a film from them, we're really happy when we find ways to expand our footprint. So that's like our thing that makes that, that's what drives us. So like you never can rest on your laurels. You have to think of what the next tier is. How do you get to that group? Where do you go there? And, you know, Bam, I think that that's part of the reason we've had the drive all along. But a lot of it is putting trust in the filmmaker, having the drive, speaking to an audience directly. And we've never been a company that's gone and focused like today's focus is we're on Spanish movies. Tomorrow's focus, we're on dramas. Now we're on slasher movies. We stay within one genre. And the overall genre is Black cinema. And that's how we focused along and built this large library.
And you, Robert, when you think of Warrior's Mindset, I mean, I know it, I've seen you at work. I mean, you're a competitor. How do you continue to strive and push that forward now going into the, from a martial arts competitor, now a filmmaker? How do you still apply that warrior spirit into succeeding?
Well, a wise man once taught me that a good martial artist knows how to hurt people and hurt them really quick. Right. But a great martial artist knows how to heal people. So I take what I've learned in the martial arts world, which you, Bam, know that is not unified, so to speak, and try to bring some healing through my films. So if people can sit back and say, oh, wow, I remember Cinda Williams, and that heals them, that makes them feel good, I've accomplished my goal, right? And then we go on to the next, you know. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Let's heal each other and unify and move forward. That's what it's all about, you know. Peace. Peace.
Peace, harmony, and happiness, right?
That's right.
when I think of, you know, the warrior's mindset, we think about how do we carry that on to the people. And one of the things, interesting things, Mr. Doug, when you were talking, you know, it's because of films and because of magazines that inspired many people like myself coming up in inner cities. When you had nothing, you can go to a movie theater or Blockbusters. You on Tuesday, you go to Blockbusters and get all those new releases. You just sit there and you get lost in entertainment because spiritually it spoke to you. That's originally how I found out about your company. And to be able to tap into that genre that I think that many people neglect, because we know by way of the inner city, Robert, that's how martial arts got its start. How important right. is your brand consistency into trying to continue to stay consistent to your message, to your audience? Mr. Doug,
well, the brand is very, very important. In fact, that's why we've been ramping up our acquisitions and ramping up our productions. It's never a time to rest on your laurels or say, well, we've done a great job, now let's coast. There's no such thing, because if you coast, somebody will catch you. And you know, I've never been in a world that you and Robert are in the martial art competitive world, obviously, but it's like being in training, right? You have to be in training. And so like, if we coast, somebody's going to knock us out. And we have to keep up the pace. We have to, if we did 50 movies last year, we have to do 100 this year. If somebody threatens us to do, you come near us, we're going to do more. And it's just what we believe in. And I've taken enough chances on films now that we can carry some that don't deliver, but we're hoping that we have more hits than not. And that's a really important thing. And sometimes it isn't even about them always working. It's about creating the opportunity of trying something different, dipping your toe in the water, so to speak. You know, there's certain genres that we know within the Black film world that don't resonate great. We don't have a lot of history with it, but it doesn't mean we still don't try. That maybe now with a wider audience and a bigger audience, maybe there is going to be some home where it will work. You know, as this, you know, Robert said something, a wise person taught him once, but a wise person recently told me a line that I've been using and coining it as my own, even though it isn't. But we say now that eyeballs are currency. So in this world where people are expecting to watch content, they want content for free. They want to have choice. They want to be able to start something and stop something when they want. They want to choose when and where to watch it or how they watch it. And, you know, their eyeballs and their attention is what pays us and ultimately pays our producers. So that's a big, big thing to us. So we want to be available. You know, we want to be available on their phone. We want to be available on the iPad. We want to be in their Roku, their Amazon. We want to be in their, you know, their TV sets. Anywhere and everywhere that when they choose to watch something, we want to make our films there. So we can't coast. So Bam, to your point, it's like I'm a sports fan. I'm a football fan. And sometimes when you see when a team's up 30-0 and they start putting backups in and everything else and they're coasting and the other team gets caught up and you said, why'd you do that? We don't believe in that.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Robert, you know, Brandy. I mean, recently I realized sometimes I might want to be humble. Nah, I don't put the name up front, but you're like, nah, man, with the brand, how important is the branding, Robert?
The brand is any brand is important. If you go to the store and you have enough money, granted, and you see, I don't know, a can that just says cola, and then you see Pepsi, you're opt to go for Pepsi. Right. If I make a movie and I make a movie with, I don't know, somebody call himself Slam Johnson. And then I make a movie with someone who's Willie the Bam Johnson. People are more apt to go to see Willie Bam Johnson. So branding is important. You know, as I said, my brand is a throwback to the Black exploitation cinema era. So that's my brand. And now that I know that and people support that, that's what I'm going to continue to do. Maybe once in a while I'll step out, but that is my lane. You know, when you have a brand, know your lane. And when you know your lane, master your lane. And then you won't have to look back to see who's catching up. Because nobody will, no Coke and Pepsi. Okay, so they're competitive. But that's okay. There's enough room in that area. But as an independent filmmaker, even though there's hundreds and thousands of us, you know, there's nobody in my lane as far as I'm concerned. You know, so branding is very, very important. When people see Robert Parham film, they're like, oh wow, Robert made another movie. Let's go see it. Oh, there it is.
And Bam, I want to add one thing to that. Is like, it's a perfect example. That's one thing I try to preach to a lot of our filmmakers is stay in your lane. Or sometimes somebody has one lane, sometimes people have two lanes, but a lot of people think that they have six lanes. And, you know, then anything they do will work. It doesn't always work that way. In some cases, maybe it will, but in most cases, you get really good at a thriller, or you get really good at an action, you get really good at a horror, and then all of a sudden you just switch and you make a family. You know, it doesn't, that's them trying to say, I don't want to be stuck in a box. I want to do something different, but sometimes it doesn't work and it can kill your momentum. So to Robert's point, the lane that he's in, he's one of the lanes on our highway. So, you know, we have this action lane, we have this thriller lane, we have this comedy lane, we have this other lane. So it's, you know, great that when somebody can focus on one area and or two at the most, but when you try to be something to everyone, to everybody, it becomes difficult. And that's the same point people ask me all these years. Why aren't you doing theatrical? Why aren't you doing this? Because maybe I would have been out of business a long time ago if I tried that, because I'm in my lane and this is the lane that I'm in. And I try to be really good in this lane. And, you know, I'd rather be in business and growing business than to be out of business.
Yes, sir. Another point you had made about making sure that your films are everywhere. During COVID, I mean, a lot of martial arts schools went out of business. A lot of businesses went under because they were like on a standstill. They could not move. Nobody was ready for, you know, streaming and adaptability. And I know us as a business, we were able to convert right to Zoom, teaching classes online. How important is it? Bruce Lee always say, be like water, my friend. Adapt and flow. How important, what did COVID teach you that you can share with other people where you got to always be flexible and ready to adapt and flow while still staying consistent with your brand?
Doug? Okay. Yeah. So the perfect example is where I went back and told you how important our team was. Our team, although we was, you know, we were like everybody else working remotely, we had this amazing growth spurt while working remotely. So that shows you that your team is really, really good at what they do. I mean, it's difficult to do what we did during COVID in when everybody's in one place, but to do it working through remote connections, not being here, if there's some problem of trying to upload a movie as a problem and somebody has to come in and to the office from their home to redo it and make sure somebody's not here and you have the mask on and what time can you get in the building and everything else. The biggest thing for us was it was like a charge moment, like you're in the cavalry. It's like, mm-hmm. Go, now's the time to go. And so we uploaded batches of movies to new partners. We signed contracts. We rushed QC processes with companies to make it happen. It was almost like the perfect storm in a way. So it was an awakening where the genre became important, and it was an awakening where the consumers wanted it and they were speaking and the platforms were listening. So it was like and for all the years that we've been around, that's happened occasionally by a platform here and there, but I've never seen it like a tsunami at one time. And that's probably the best way to describe it. So the environment, the situation, the demand, and the wanting it now is made it happen. And we were able to comply with that with a small staff working remotely, which is one of the things we're most proud of.
Yes. Okay. And Robert, that sounds like me and you. I remember on the phone a couple of times, man, COVID. Come on, man, let's get pumped up. It's time to work. We're making movies and having fun during COVID. What's up, Robert? Talk to me.
During the pandemic, people had nothing but time. And so while there are consumers who watch movies, you know, who are seeking entertainment to pass the time, I'm going to use my time. You know, I decided, well, I got nothing but time. Let me write. Let me see if there are some businesses open out here that will allow me to shoot. Let's see what the COVID protocols are and let's get to it because nobody's working. So let's make some movies, y'all. You know, let's make some movies. I even came up to Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
So, just got to think outside the box sometimes, you know, and flip the script.
Well, it was good for us because we were able to take our business to a whole new level. Most martial arts schools were closing down. We were teaching online, having a great time, innovating and creating. And we got a documentary published during the COVID. Hey, how did that happen? We closed a deal with a documentary thanks to Robert and Maverick. And I'm on it because in accumulation of all the things we talked about, I would say, Doug, once again, thank you. Thank Robert. Because as a child, when I say this to anybody that's listening to the show, I always talk about Bruce Lee inspiring me at 6 years old and dreaming about wanting to be a Hollywood star and being in movies. And then you stumble across a guy by the name of Robert Parham. He said, let's do it. And since then, that relationship has evolved to such a respectful and honorary level as a family. You know, when my wife loves you and cook for you, you know, you in there, right, Doug? When the wife starts cooking for you, welcoming you, you in. So I just want to, say thank you, Doug, for allowing us to redefine the lane that we want to really stand out in, which is the martial arts expression and empowering other people. Just to say to the audience, I mean, what would you say about getting behind the documentary? You see this great movie. I don't know if you've seen it, Doug. It's out right now. It's out by a company called Maverick, in case you didn't know about it.
Yeah, I've heard the rumors. I wanted to tell you, Bam. I mean, yeah, it's out now. You know, we have it. It's on some impressive platforms. That's only going to grow. I think right now it was placed through Vudu Fandango. I told you Fandango purchased Vudu recently. Well, they merged together. It's a Vudu Fandango. I believe it's on our YouTube channel. I know it's on Tubi. I know it's on Hoopla, which is another digital carrier. And, you know, I can't, you know, speak out of turn, but it's going to be going to a lot of other places too. It's going to keep growing its footprint. And just to kind of throw a little tip of the hat to you is we're generally a feature film company. That's what we do. But we liked your content and we liked the quality and the way it looked and that it conveys action and the story. And so we went with it. So we haven't done a lot of documentaries over the years, but this was something that we felt was a unique opportunity. And hopefully one day we can make a film together too, because our real sweet spot is feature films. But I wanted you to know you're in a unique, rarefied kind of air, because it's not, I'm not gonna say a test for us, but it's to show you the belief we had in the content to pick it up.
Thank you. And that goes back once again, our hats off to Robert. I mean, and we want to say thank you to Robert. Maybe one day I can convince Robert to do a movie with me or something. I don't know. Maybe he might let me star in a movie with him one day or something.
That chance is 1 out of 100.
So, I mean, in closing, and I want to say thank you once again for your time, Mr. Doug. And Robert, also knowing you in California, a lot of times what we like to do in the show, we want to give some positive aspiration out there to people. We know even though we are coming back from COVID, but still some trying times for people. People trying to find a way to overcome obstacles. I always ask this challenging question to most people. We have a kid. We have a family. We have an artist trying to get his product out there. But in less than a second, he's choosing to just quit, end it all. He's like, man, forget it. I can't do this anymore. What advice would you give that person, Doug, to just hang in there and take it to the next level?
Well, you know, I've had many, many stories over the years where people are tired of having doors slammed in their faces. And that's one of the opportunities what we try to. It's not that we never say no to people. We do have to say no sometimes on some things. But we also are cognizant of the fact that so many doors get slammed on people, and unjustly so. Okay. So I would strongly recommend somebody never to give up. We've had one filmmaker in Atlanta, very talented filmmaker, and he was going through some tough times. And everywhere he tried to get his movie placed, he got no, 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 no. It's this reason or that reason or this reason. And then he was about to hang it up. And We, you know, a lady in our office, Erica, screened a movie and wanted to pick the movie up. And she made a call to his partner that we were interested in the movie. And it was like a rocky moment for them. I mean, they were right on the precipice of quitting, and that gave them the whole hope to do it. And right now we're about 6 films in with this gentleman. You know, that was his first opportunity. We're about 6 films in, and we're currently funding a production that's starting next week in Atlanta that he's doing. So he's made 6 on his own, and now we're funding one. So that's the chance of just, you know, sticking in there and saying, let's try. Now to the point of desperation, at a point where somebody gets so downtrodden, they say, I can't try it anymore. I gave it my best shot. At the worst case scenario, even if doors do get closed in your face, you still have a self-distribution option where you can try to pay to put it up somewhere, or you can pay to put it somewhere and use that as a living, breathing resume to get your next opportunity. Now, the reach is limited. Okay. It's going to be certain, you know, it's not going to be the greatest reach, but it's still better than walking away from it. So I've had people that have done that, and then they've got recognized by us and by other distributors that had a movie on Amazon, I had a movie somewhere else, that during our research and finding comparative titles, we stumble across them. We make an introduction and we say, hey, let's make a movie together. So I'd strongly advocate sticking in as long as you can, never giving up, believing that the next opportunity is a phone call away. And I had a mentality once, you know, when I first started this company, because every door that we knocked on had reasons of why our genre wouldn't work, or why this won't work, or why this wouldn't work. And I would say to myself that they said no, but they just weren't ready to say yes yet.
Yes, sir. That I used to say that when I would compete, when I was ready to do my kata, when the competitor was going up, I would never watch it. But when everybody would clap for him, my back would be turned to him. I said, they just clapping for me. They ain't seen me yet. They ain't seen the band yet.
That's right.
When he walked out, those claps were for me. Those yells and screams were for me.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you, anything helps fuel you, I get it.
Yes, sir. Mr. Robert, what you going to say to him? He's ready to quit, or she's ready to quit?
Well, somebody's no is just an opportunity for someone else to say yes. Number one. Number two is you don't want to be, God give you longevity, 75, 80, 85, 90 years old, look back after you quit and say, man, I woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know, I know for me personally, I'm going to ride this thing called life until the wheels fall off, right? Nobody's going to tell me no. And if they say no to me, that's okay. I'll show you. I will show you. So I think if people adopt that attitude because I've been through some tough times too, so I'm not going to sit here like I'm privileged, but I think if people adopt that attitude moving forward, the sky is the limit, and no one will throw an obstacle in front of them that they can't overcome. So it's all about attitude. Everything is up here. Everything is up here. So as long as you're together up there, there's no obstacle.
And that's the warrior's mindset. So we want to thank everybody for joining in. You know, as we close, we will close with in martial arts, we call him the grandmaster. That means that's the master that dictates what we do in the dojo. So today our grandmaster is Doug. And if Doug, if you would like to leave the audience with one image or anything that you would like the world to know about Maverick that they probably don't know, just something inspirational, what would you say, Grandmaster, to the world today?
Well, I'd like them to know that we are only as good as the people that bring content to us and the ideas that are generated by those people, okay? And that we have released over 1,000 movies in the last 24 years, as I mentioned earlier. And we want to release another 1,000. So don't give up your dream. Don't give up the hope. Knock on our door. Let's see what can happen. And let's try to take it to the next level. Robert is just one of the many examples of solid partners that we have. That's almost like a seed. The first movie is a seed, and it grows into an oak, into a tree. So if you do it properly, one leads to two, two leads to three, three leads to four, and you grow your craft. That's the message that I'd like to have to convey to anybody that's an aspiring writer, producer, or filmmaker, that there is somebody that you have a shot that is accustomed to the genre of film that you're interested in and opening doors for it. We consider ourselves a ramrod to the gatekeepers. We want to find a way to break the barrier, get the film in, and let it stand on its own.
Well, I want to say thank you, guys. Awesome opportunity here, Doug, Robert, thank you for setting it up. And everybody have a great day, awesome day. Warriors Mindset Radio, once again, there to empower the world, to change everyone that comes in contact with us. Most importantly, the next generation. It's all about the youth, and that's what we're trying to empower, the next generation of youth. their parents along with them. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Everybody have a great day. As we always say, the BAM means better attitude makers, baby. Everybody, see ya. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, sir. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, BAM.
Pleasure. Bye-bye, BAM. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.